Change Worth Making is a radio ministry of Pastor Jeff Haney of Pinecrest Baptist Church, where the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to do the will of God. We're glad you tuned in today. Our prayer through this ministry is the lost will be saved and the saved will be serious. Today's message was preached in the pulpit of Pinecrest Baptist Church. Here now is Brother Jeff.
Amen. I hope that's your prayer this morning. As you're turning to Matthew chapter 12, I want to welcome our visitors, tell you we're so glad you're here. Welcome our members. We're glad you're here too. Those of you that may be watching at home, thank you for tuning in today. And when you found Matthew chapter 12, go down to verse 22. If you would, let's stand. We've been preaching through this chapter, and we're going to continue to do that, and we're doing it under the premise, the reality, of the dangers of striving with your Maker. We said from the beginning that most people in this day and age or in this building that come to Christians, nobody in here would, with their eyes wide open and their feet planted firm, knowledgeably fight against the Lord. Most people, I think, that are in the sound of my voice, their intent is always, you want to be more like Jesus. You want to be surrendered to Him in every way. And we've talked about the fact that sometimes people wind up striving with Him against their will, not even realizing it. They're just subconscious to it. They're insisting on having their own way, and they're going to do that no matter what. But then this chapter has been the subject of those who do with feet planted firm, eyes wide open in a full gulp of air, will fight Jesus tooth and toenail. And this morning I want to show you, we're going to look at two verses really, and show you just how far some people go. Beginning in verse 22, the Bible says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" Father in heaven, we thank you again. Lord, we just thank you all the time. We thank you so much for all of the love and the blessings and the comforts and the conveniences you've given us in this modern age. Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your salvation. Lord, I ask today that you will use your word to work in every heart according to your will and not mine, that you'll have your way in every way. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated. Well, friend, I'm here to tell you today you'll be surprised, may be surprised, at just how far someone will go to resist the Lord. That just how low they'll get, just how far they'll go. And friend, you never want to go there. I think you know that. And as we look today at our passage, we're going to learn two things. We're going to learn about those people that do that, and we're going to learn more about our Lord, who He deals with them. Now, you've been walking with us or coming through us, you know that we have been following the group of Pharisees as they have been encountering our Lord. And you remember from the very beginning of this, the Pharisees' big problem with Jesus was he wouldn't use their sermon notes. He would not read their commentaries. He would not follow their law. He would not follow their way of doing things. And by the way, I would remind you, don't ever fall into that trap. Your trap is to, there is no trap. Your goal is always, your loyalty is to the Word of God. Your loyalty is to be to the things in it and it alone. And no matter what anybody else tells you, friend, you double check me. Now, if I'm wrong, I'll let you know. But beyond that, you get your information from the Word of God. Always and forever. Now, the Old Testament, God had given a law, but the Pharisees had written their own commentaries and made their own rules to protect that law. And Jesus came along and showed he had no regard for man's opinion. Man cannot contribute to truth. Man cannot contribute to the Word of God. Man has nothing to provide. And so this conflict began. And as chapter 12 began, Christ's ministry, his popularity was on with the common people, was on the rise. The hostility of his enemies was also on the rise. And last week he crossed, actually 2 weeks ago as we walked through it, he crossed the line to the point where they decided it was time that they must try and kill him. They've got to destroy Jesus because he was against, if when people yielded to Jesus, they would be turning from the Pharisees. Now, all of that being said, we've come down now to a place where Jesus has been brought, a man possessed of a devil. And this morning, really, I tell you, we're only looking at these two verses. Now, we're going to bring in some other parts of the Gospels with it to get the whole picture. But in this one scene, in this one event that took place on that day, you'll find out in some ways, listen, that some men are far worse than the demons. Some men will fight Jesus farther than demons will. Some people will absolutely put their feet in the concrete when even the demons won't. Now listen, I would never want to be, one, I'd never want to fight against Jesus, but I would never want to be worse than a devil. I would never want to be worse than a demon. And yet I'm afraid this world is full of them. Well, when we look at our text this morning, we're going to see as Jesus dealt with this demoniac, the first thing that I want you to see is this hostage of hell. What do we know about this man? The Bible says here, verse 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. Now, I've met blind people. I've met some dumb people. I think that probably I've met some of those who've done business with the devil. But what we know about this guy, the Bible tells us three things. The Bible tells us, obviously, he's blind. That ought to be self-explanatory. You can figure that out. He does not have sight. There's light, but no sight. Always remember, there's a difference between light and sight. It doesn't do any good to give a flashlight to a blind man. Flashlight to a blind man does not help him in any way, shape, form, or fashion. A man must have sight first before light can do anything for him. But here's a man who he's blind. And this word here that is dumb, with all the fun that we have with that sometimes, when you peel back the King's English, the word actually implies two problems. It implies, it means both deaf and mute. Now, one, it can be applied where one or the other. It can be either deaf or mute, or it can be both. But the implication is that this man who is blind is also, at least at the very minimum, we know he cannot speak, and the possibility is high that he cannot even hear. I can't think of a circumstance, a physical circumstance on earth, worse than that. Now, not only does it tell us he's blind and he's dumb, that he is possessed with the devil. Now, this idea, this phrase, possessed with the devil, is actually one word in the Greek language, as the Lord, as Matthew wrote this down. And it just means one is under the power of a demon. Under the power, under the control of a demon. Now, here's you a good lesson, all right? You have a spiritual being causing a physical problem. Now, before anybody gets hung up on demons, recognize this. If you have no problem with angels, you shouldn't have a problem with demons. If you will recognize that there are angels in heaven, you ought to have no problem recognizing there's demons on earth, because that's where they came from. We all readily accept when you open up Isaiah and you see that wonderful, glorious picture of Christ at of the throne, and he sees him high and lifted up, and you see the seraphim. And we see those beautiful creatures that God has made, and we look at that, and most people readily accept that. Furthermore, we readily accept the fact the Bible tells us that you sometimes entertain angels unaware. We readily accept that. But sometimes when it comes to the idea of demons, people get a little iffy on that. Well, friend, you better not get iffy. That's right where the devil wants you to be, is to be iffy. And you have a spiritual being causing a physical problem. Now, there are some things that go without saying, but I'm going to say them just for the record. Not all blind people were demon-possessed. All right? Not all dumb people were demon-possessed, and not all demon-possessed people are dumb, and not all demon-possessed people are blind. Don't ever equate those as always being one with the other. That is not the case. But it is the case in this man. Possessed with the devil, prisoner of the devil, prisoner of a demon, blind in his sight, mute in his mouth, and most likely deaf in his ears. Now, when you put all that together, friend, you've got a real problem. You've got somebody who has been completely cut off from the gospel. You couldn't tell him the gospel. He couldn't hear the gospel if you told him. He couldn't read it if you wrote it. You couldn't show him Jesus if he could see. He is in complete prisoner of this demon. Now, I did a little bit of going back. I wanted to find out and read a little bit of a testimony, not of faith, but of condition of Helen Keller. In her latter years, she wrote down what it was like or what she remembered before Ann Sullivan came her way. She wrote this. She said, "I had no concept whatsoever of nature, no concept of mind, death, or God. I literally thought with my body. Without a single exception, my memories of that time are just tactile. But there is not one spark of emotion or rational thought in these distinct corporal memories." Now listen to this. "I was like a clod of earth, of unconscious earth. There was nothing in me except the instinct to eat, to drink, and to sleep. My days were blank. They had no past. They had no present. They had no future. Without hope or anticipation, without interest or joy. What a horrible place to live." Now, when you're in that place, the only thing you've got is smell and taste. And touch, smell, and taste. And no way to interact with anything else. Now, all that being said, this man physically is is the total prisoner of the devil. He can't see, hear, feel, smell, or can't see, hear, or share the gospel. Can't have it told to him, showed to him. And even if he knew something, he couldn't say it. You know, you think about it, this man could not know anybody, totally alone, and he could not be known. Nobody could know him. Couldn't find out his personality, couldn't find out his characteristics, couldn't find out his thoughts, couldn't find out anything about him. He's absolutely cut off from the world. Now, I want you to understand something. That was a physical representation of the spiritual condition of lost men. It's the same scenario. You take somebody who don't know Jesus, and spiritually they are in the same boat that this man was physically. Let me tell you what I mean. Write this down, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Lost people are spiritually blind. They cannot see. Sometimes we try to explain things in the Bible to them, and they look at us like a calf at a new gate. They just think that I have no idea what we're talking about. Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." They are blind. You can show them all the light in the world, but they do not have the spiritual sight to see. All right? Not only that, they are spiritually deaf. They can't hear the things of God. Now listen, they can parrot what they hear other people hear say naturally, but they cannot actually hear the things of God. John chapter 8, verse 43 and verse 44, Jesus said, most likely to these same Pharisees, he said, "Why do you not understand my speech? You can't even hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The Bible tells us that somebody who is in a complete lost condition, they are spiritually blind. They are spiritually deaf. Romans 3, verse 11, "There is none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. When you, friend, that's not too far from deaf ears and blind eyes in that one statement. But not only that, they're spiritually mute. What do you mean by that? They have nothing to offer. Well, now, preacher, you can't say that about lost people. Oh, yes, I can. I don't have to. The Bible does. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 9, when Jeremiah was dealing with false prophets and false followers, he said, "The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Listen, they have rejected the word of the Lord. What wisdom is in them?" Outside the word of God, there is no wisdom. Outside the spirit of God, there is no wisdom. Let me tell you, the lost man has nothing to contribute to anything. That goes back to the Pharisees trying to write their own commentaries and make Jesus stick with it. Lost man can't contribute wisdom, spiritual wisdom. He cannot speak the things of God. Now, as I said, like a parrot, lost people have repeated, lost man can repeat the word of God to anybody. But you know what? The word of God can stand on its own. Amen. Paul said if somebody pretended to preach Christ, then we praise God Christ was preached. But that does not mean that they have spoken any spiritual wisdom. Now, all that being said, how then can a lost man get saved? I mean, if he's spiritually blind, you can't see anything. If he's spiritually deaf, he's not going to hear anything. If he's spiritually mute, he's not going to say anything. Well, it's very simple. The same way that this man was healed through Jesus. Amen. Now let me ask you this. What work did this man do for Jesus to give him his sight? Not a thing. What work did Jesus do, or for this man do for Jesus to give him his ears? Not a thing. What did this man do to get Jesus to give him his speech? Not one thing. Jesus did it all. Now, I'm talking, let's understand the physical picture. The physical picture is someone brought this man to Jesus, and Jesus did his work on this man. Got that? Now, here's how that happens spiritually. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, not with the eyes, not with the ears, not with the mouth. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When anyone turns to the Jesus of the Bible and entrusts themselves to him for forgiveness, he offers them the atonement made and his willingness to save them. Let me ask you this. What did Helen Keller provide for Ann Sullivan to do her work? Nothing. She received it. That was it. Somebody brought Ann Sullivan to Helen Keller. Helen Keller knew nothing. Ann Sullivan reached into her hand and began to spell water. Began to make letters. All she did was put out her hand and Ann Sullivan did the rest. Friend, here's the thing with Jesus. You just put out your heart and he'll do the rest. Amen. You don't have to see everything. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, meaning that if you will honestly give your attention to the word of God, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That is somebody who is willing to hear what they cannot hear. Willing to hear what they cannot hear, God will help you hear. Willing to see what you cannot see, God will let you see. You know why most people cannot see and most people cannot hear, and I'm talking about lost people and even saved people sometimes, can't hear the things of God and see the things of God because they don't want to. They just don't want to. You'd be surprised at God say to you if you wanted to listen to him. And listen with the ear that says, "I'll do it, now speak." Not with the ear that says, "Speak, Lord, I'll do it." It's the other way around. "Lord, I'll do it, now speak. Lord, I'll do it, now show me." Just like Helen Keller did nothing to get her sight. Man does nothing to get saved. Amen. He just lets Jesus do his work. Amen. He puts his heart out. Now, come back to Romans 10 for a second and don't get hung up on this. Sometimes people do. Romans chapter 10, with mouth confession, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That doesn't mean, don't ever get the idea that if you can't say it with your tongue, you can't be saved. That'd be a real problem for somebody who really was mute. There are people who are born and they don't have the ability to speak. Aren't you glad God doesn't make you have to say something to be saved? What he's talking about here is this is what follows. This is what follows. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and then what follows is his will to confess it. I've never met anybody yet that was saved and wasn't willing to say so. Matter of fact, you show me somebody that says, I trust Jesus, but they're not willing to say it, I just don't believe you. You don't have a right to be believed if you're going to be that way. Now, all that being said, this is that hostage of hell. Physically, this man is a picture of all men spiritually, deaf, blind, and mute. And even if you think he's not deaf, he's just dumb, he's unable to live as God intended for man to live. And so now, we come to the hero of heaven. This is one of the most beautiful scenes in all of the Bible. Now, here's where we're going to bring in the other Gospels. This story, this same event, is written also in Mark chapter 3 and in Luke chapter 6. And when you bring then all these together, they tell us a story. They tell us the full thing. Matthew writes this, he healed him. I mean, no elaboration. He healed him. Boy, isn't that great. And then Mark, here's what Mark writes. And this is very important. If you listen, say amen. Mark writes this. Unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and said, thou art the Son of God. And then Luke writes this. Luke says that at this time, Jesus was casting out the devil. Now, sometimes we talk about spiritual warfare. Friend, let me tell you, you're the only one that struggles. The Lord never struggles in any of his battles. There's no struggle for the Lord. Now, yes, in this life, in this flesh, you and I struggle between the flesh and the spirit. The Bible says that the spirit and the flesh are at enmity one with another. And so you're going to struggle in the flesh, but God never does. We'll read oftentimes about the battle, the spiritual battles that are fought in heaven. And listen, that's just a word that we understand, but don't ever think that God strives to get his victories. There are no equals with him. He has no enemy that can strain him. He'll never break a sweat on anything. He just gives his word. Matter of fact, when you get to the end of the book, you're going to find out that when all things are done, God just gives his word and it's over. It's over. Let me tell you right now, you live by the word of God. You don't have to, listen carefully, you don't have to do anything to die. He's just got to stop giving you life. Just his word. I live right here by his very word. He chooses to stop giving me life. There's not a doctor on earth can find out why I died except God. Well, let's look at this. We come to this stage and we see that three things about it. One, Jesus healed the man's body. I like that Matthew writes this. He just healed him. He gave him his sight to see all the colors of the rainbow. You ever tried to describe a color to a blind person? You can't do it. Or at least I can't. How would you define blue? How would you describe the color red? Some things cannot be defined or described. They can only be seen. How would you describe music to a deaf person? I'm talking about people who are born this way. How would you describe the sound of the whippoorwill and the sound of the rushing waters and the wind as it blows through the trees in the fall? And it's just beautiful. Jesus gave this man life. He gave him his sight back. He gave him his hearing back so he could hear those things. He gave him his voice back. He gave him his voice so that he can sing, shout, whisper, praise God, talk to his family, can say anything. And let me say this before we move on. While today we're focusing on spiritual matters, I want to say unequivocally, the Lord has the ability to do this today. He can heal physically today just as much as he heals spiritually. He can set all things back in order anytime he so chooses. I encourage you sometime to look up the story of Marilyn Ford. who was blind, became blind, wound up going to a school for the blind. And the doctors had looked at her and said she'd never see again because on the back of her eyelids, the reflective material that helps you see was gone, deteriorated out of the way. Her husband was a preacher, was an evangelist, A.C. Ford. And he would go and preach, and she was blind for 20-something years, and one night just felt like was burdened that her blindness was being a hindrance to their ministry, and she just cried out to God. Early one morning, she sat straight up in bed and could see with 20/20 vision. Saw her husband for the first time, and they stayed married. That's only God. And began to get all excited, and she called her eye doctor the next morning. She went in to see him, and the doctors looked at her and said, "You still can't see. Your eyes still are bad. They don't work." And yet she could read every book they put in front of her, read everything that was on the page. She wrote a book years ago called These Blind Eyes Do See. And even with eyes that have no reflective, whatever that is that's on the back of your eye, even with none of that, she sees. Friend, eyesight's in God. It's not in the body. Don't ever tell me the Lord cannot physically heal somebody. He can, He does, He will, at His will, for His glory, at His time. Now, I'm amazed sometimes at how many times He doesn't because people don't ask. I mean, have you ever asked Him? Whatever it is, Lord, if it be Your will. Listen, if He can give sight to the blind, He can give brains to the dumb. He can, and what I mean by that is sometimes, Lord, You need to make me a little smarter. He can. Increase my brain cells. Help, give me some wisdom. Help me. Loose my tongue or give me ears to hear. Jesus healed this man's body. And what He did to this body, friend, that's what He does to every lost man's soul. He gives it sight. Nothing like hearing from God. Nothing like the Word of God bouncing off the halls of your heart and resonating through your mind at just the right time when the Spirit of God has moved in your life. Well, not only did He heal this man's body, but I want you to see now, here's where we get to the hard part for some. The demons bowed down and worshiped Him. Jesus, this man possessed with the devil, has been brought to Jesus. And as those demons see Him, listen carefully, they do something the Pharisees won't do. They fall on their face before Him. And they fall on their face before Him, and they say, through the voice of this man, and it's audible for all to hear, "Thou art the Son of God." Amen. Now, everybody there knew this was a devil. The Pharisees knew that this was a devil. And now here you have even the devils of hell confessing and admitting Jesus is the Son of God. And you had men standing by that would just plant their feet deeper in the dirt and say no. Sometimes we think that the devils can never tell the truth. And listen, they can't. Satan's a liar. He only lies when he's asleep or awake. Okay? But when he comes into the presence, we always find this, when they come into the presence of the Lord, they have no recourse but to speak the truth. Nobody's ever going to lie to Jesus when you see him. You know, don't get the idea when you get up to heaven and you're going to snow him with any of your excuses. Your tongue is going to get loose and you're going to, one, confess Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess Jesus is Lord. And you're not going to lie to him. And you're not going to be able to say to him, "Lord, now listen, you know that so-and-so misled me." And he's going to say, "No, he didn't. I remember when you were there on that day and this gospel was preached to you and you heard it and you rejected it. Nobody's going to lie to him. Satan here, these devils here, they have come and they have fallen before Jesus and they have had to do nothing but say what they knew to be true. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Amen. Well then, not only do you see Jesus heal the man's body and the demons bow and worship Christ, but now Jesus casts those demons out, banishes them. Well, preacher, did they leave or did he banish them? You bet. He did. Both happened. They didn't want to be in his presence anymore, and he wanted them in their presence. And so he instructed them where to go, what to do, and they did. Mark tells us they fell down before Jesus. Then Matthew says Jesus then cast them out. And understand this right here, that there we only have one hero of heaven. Don't expect the angels to deliver you. They will not. Don't expect the angels to come to your side. They will not. Friend, you've got one friend that's the only friend you need. Now, you say, preacher, we got a building full of friends. Listen, well, I hope we're all friends, but I want to tell you this. You can't do for me what Jesus did for me. And I can't do for you what Jesus did for you. I can't help you, but he can. And you can't help me, but he can. He cast these demons out as only the hero of heaven can do. He is both our physical overseer, our spiritual leader, and our eternal Savior. Now, the last thing that I want you to see. Not just the hostage of hell and the hero of heaven, but now the hesitation in the hearers. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is this not the son of David?" I like this word for amazed. Exist to me, and it means to stand aside from your own senses, to be driven out of the control of your mind. So shocked you don't even know what to say. You're lost for words and lost for thought. I'm so amazed. No doubt they had seen and heard. They'd seen Jesus do many miracles before, but now they heard the voice of a devil coming out of a man. The testimony of hell in the ears of the hearers. He has opened blind eyes. He has opened a loose tongue or a tied up tongue. And they asked the question, "Is this not he who we were told about? Is this not the son of David?" Matter of fact, the language doctors tell us that this is a question of amazement. Is this not him? Is this him? It caused a little bit of hesitation. They had read and they had been taught that the Messiah would open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears. And here he is doing it. It can't be him. It just can't be real. You ever think, I know you've been through this before, where something seems to be too good to be true? Well, friend, this was too good not to be true. Amen. The reality that's happening is the same thing that happens to people all the time. You remember why Jesus' brothers rejected him initially? They no way our brother's the Messiah. That would never happen to us. But it did. When Jesus came to be born, no doubt there were Jews. "Well, no Messiah is coming. We know Messiah." Well, that can't be him. Listen. Some people are far more comfortable with a promise than they are a reality. Some people would rather live in the promise and the prophecies in the future than the reality when it happens. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus really is coming. And the events that he tells us about that are going to happen on earth will actually happen. And you want to have the discernment to say, is this that? Not, oh, this can't be that. When the Bible comes alive before your very eyes, and that's what happened on that day. The Bible came alive before their very eyes, and they just couldn't believe that what they had been reading was coming true. Is this him? Is this it? Well, everything on the inside of them said resounding yes, and everything on the outside of them said, I don't think so. It's hard to believe that these things really are going to happen sometimes. Let me ask you this. Does everybody here really believe you're going to die? I mean, we're told we are. Nobody's made it yet from Adam to now. Everybody goes in the ground. Everybody comes to an end. Everything's going to die, but I guarantee you when it finally comes, you're going to say, I can't believe this is happening to me. I've seen that so many times. We know that we're going to, but then we can't believe when it does. Here is the same problem. They knew he was coming and they knew he would show, but they just couldn't believe that that was him. But it was. Now here's their turn to choose. They have a problem now. All of those hearers standing right there, they now have a problem. That problem is this. All the religious leaders over here shouting, that is not the Son of God. All the works, all the visibility, all the testimony and power of Jesus is standing right here. And even the demons say, this is the Son of God. Amen. Now these people are caught right here. Friend, there's got to come a time you got to stop depending on somebody else's words. You've got to stop depending on what somebody else tells you. And listen, I like the old preacher that says, if I talk you into it, somebody else talk you out of it. You have got to give your attention to the Word of God, because it is not a book on religion. It is the book on reality. It explains to you what's going to happen when you die. It explains to you the condition you're in and how to remedy that. All through Jesus. Don't take my word for it. I want to tell you, there are people that can recognize things. I remember, you go back and you read as we tie things up. When Jesus was born, Anna and Simeon recognized who he was. That's the Son of God. Nathanael, the apostle that would come to be the apostle, he recognized him pretty quick. That's the Son of God. Matter of fact, he said it before Peter did. You go back and study your chronology, and a lot of times we give Peter credit for saying, behold, thou art the Son of God, and Jesus said, upon thee I'll build my church. Peter was not the first one. Nathanael was. He said it before Peter did. He recognized it. A Gentile Roman soldier recognized him. He'd seen his works, and he wasn't even well acquainted with the Old Testament, most likely. But he had a sick servant one day, and he came to him and he said, I've got a sick servant. You don't even have to come to my house. I understand authority. All you've got to do is give the word. And Jesus said, I have not found so great a faith, not in all of Israel. I just take you at your word. Friend, that's how you get saved. You just take Christ at his word. He said, I'll save you. Okay. I trust you. I turn from what I've been trusting. I turn from depending on my good works. I turn from depending on Christianity by osmosis. There's no such thing as Christianity by osmosis. It never wears off on you. I turn, that's what the word repent is. I turn from everything behind me to Jesus. And like Ann Sullivan, or like Helen Keller, I just put out my hand and let him do the work. Let him do the work. Friend, you want your life to change right now. You can't do it, but he can. You can't change anything. Now, you can turn over a new leaf, but let me tell you, you'll just rot on the other side. Only Christ can change your life. Now, why on earth would you fight that? Why on earth would anybody go farther than the devils? Why would anybody in the sound of my voice, knowing the will and the word of God, put your foot down and say, I'm going to have my way on this. I'm going to have my will on this. Why? I mean, do you not trust the Lord? Well, I'm going to tell you who's going to get changed. Mark chapter 9, verse 4, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You may be here today and you're lost as a ball in high grass. I'm going to tell you right now, nobody's going to save you but Jesus. And as Helen Keller put her hand out to let Ann Sullivan do the work to bring light into her life, you put your trust in your heart out to Jesus. I trust you. Lord, will you do your work? You'll be surprised how much you'll see, hear, and come to know. If you're here today and you're saved, but you've not been following him, I don't know why. You don't either. Somebody would ask you, what happened? Why did you stop being so this? Why did you stop being so prayerful? Why did you stop being so vocal about Christian? Why did you stop being so faithful? You don't even have a good answer. Not one that'll satisfy the Lord, and then certainly if you start repeating it to yourself, it won't satisfy you. Everything begins by just saying, Lord, do your work in my life, and I yield.
Thanks for listening today. If change worth making has made a difference in your life, please let us know. You can do that through changeworthmaking.org or pinecrestbaptist.org. And know Jesus really is the only change worth making.